Well, thank you. It's been our joy to be with you tonight, and we've been looking forward to coming to the New Testament Baptist Church. We've met your pastor over the last couple of years, and it's our privilege as BMFP to be here with you. We appreciate you hosting us and allowing us to be here with you, and I pray as the couple of days we're here, we'll be able to interact with you. You get to know us a little better, and we're just excited to see what God's going to do. Now, if you want to hear the rest of that story, our missionary, Julie Alexander, was in that meeting passing out those John and Romans, and she was very excited about what's going on, and they got a bunch of contacts for the church that she's in. So that's not, and I do know the Weimers, by the way. They've been there a long time in Liberia. So that's just a blessing to continue to see those things go on. And it doesn't just have to happen on the mission field. It can happen right here. And where are we? Hamilton. I was in Quebec last week, so I'm trying to figure what part of Canada I'm in this week, all right? But it's a joy to be here, and I could not ask for a more appropriate song tonight. When you think about serving the Lord, I was preaching yesterday in Pennsylvania, and I said, there's nothing greater than being able to be put in the ministry. I preached on that message, that passage of Scripture. And if those of you have never experienced of being used of God in a special way, let me encourage you to allow this time this week to let God get a hold of you in a very unique way. There's nothing greater than letting God use you and putting yourself in a position that He can put you in the ministry. I could have chose a lot of things, and Brother Matt talked about a vocation. We could have chose a whole lot of things we could have done. I've flown airplanes. I've driven race cars. I've done a lot of different things in my life. But nothing greater than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it takes, that's what we need to be willing to do. And I believe if we had more Christians that were willing to take that step of faith and say, God, whatever it takes, just use me, place me, put me. Man, what a difference that would make in our church. What a difference that would make in our missions outreach. What a difference it would make in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So along that line, take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Philippians at chapter number 2. I want to speak for a few moments on the subject of the mind of God. The mind of God. We sung, whatever it takes, and we talked about a vocation. You've had your missions emphasis month or weeks of missions conference this month, and you've dedicated your monies and your faith promise to giving. But it doesn't stop there. That's just the beginning of it. That's just getting out of the gate. Now you're in for the run. I mean, this year, as you look at the 12 months that lay ahead of you, it ought to be an exciting time. You're looking forward to what God's going to do through you and how God's going to use you and how you're going to be involved and how God's going to increase you in your witness for others and in through your missionary program. But I believe it all should become and start as with our mind. The Bible says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, what does it say? So is he. And so it begins, what do you think about God? What do I think about God? We see here in Philippians chapter 2, we'll just read the first couple of verses there. In Philippians chapter number 2, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And I thank you for what our ears have already heard. And I pray now as we go into this time of listening to your word once again, Lord, you allow us to have an impact on others. Lord, may it not just be wind, may it not just be words, may it be something we understand and grasp hold from our heart. Lord, understand, Lord, that we need to have the mind of Christ in everything that we do. And help us tonight as we learn, as we seek, as we search out the Scriptures on this subject, that you might encourage us, Lord, to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever stopped to ponder and think about what God thinks about? I know that's kind of out of our out of our league to kind of imagine what God thinks about. I sometimes like to imagine. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but sometimes I just think about what God's like in heaven. He's orchestrating the angels, and he's orchestrating all that goes on, and he knows everything that's going on down here. Nothing escapes him. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's involved in all of our lives. Nothing escapes him. There's no oops with God. I missed that. I didn't see that. Nothing like that happens with God. I mean, he orchestrates everything. In the book of Isaiah says, for the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are not than your thoughts. And so it's kind of hard for us to imagine and grasp hold of what God thinks. Can you imagine the conversations of heaven? I think about those that's gone on before us. I think of the great men of God, Dr. Lee Robertson, and my pastor, Brother Bobby Robertson. They've gone on to heaven. I can only begin to imagine the conversations to heaven. The joy unspeakable of finally seeing the Savior face to face and understanding, having a comprehension of what God's all about. Man, that ought to be our goal in life. A.W. Tozier stated, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I fear many times as Christians, we do not take the time to understand and realize the awesomeness of God in our life. As one black deacon said one time, the preacher was preaching and he was up talking. He says, where would we be without God? And nobody responded. And he said, I said, where would we be without God? And nobody responded. And he said, I said, where would we be without God? And the old deacon stood in the back. He said, brother, we'd be thunk. That's where we'd be. And that's exactly without God. There would be no reason for life, no reason for missions, no need to do anything. But because God invested himself in you and God invested himself in me, we have an opportunity to serve him. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4 and number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So with this in mind, I want us to consider the mind of God if we line up with him. Someone has said, and I think it was A.W. Tozer said, has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all in tune with the same fork are automatically in tune to each other? And so it's not about me being in tune with you and you being in tune with so-and-so. It's about us being in tune with God. And the more that we're all in tune in God, you know what's going to happen? We're all in tune with each other. And things begin to work. Things begin to click and things happen because we're not looking and seeking someone else's approval. We're seeking God's approval in what we're doing. Someone has written this about the Bible, and my dad had this in the flyleaf of his Bible for all those years. He believed in having a red Schofield. He said it ought to be red on the outside and red all the way through. Amen. So that's why I have a red Schofield. But as someone's mentioned, Bible contains the mind of God, the condition of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions unchangeable. Read the Bible to be wise and to be safe. Practice it to be holy. The Bible contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's character. Christ is its subject. Our good is design. The glory of God is in. The Bible should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is given to you in life. It will be opened in the judgment. It will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy precepts. The Word of God. Amen. And this is where we get the mind of God from, the Word of God. So tonight I want to give you four things quickly about the mind of God. What does that mean? How does it involve you? How does it involve me? And I understand, most of us here tonight that are visiting, and I don't like the word recruit, but that for lack of other word, other term, we spend a lot of time on the road recruiting. What does that mean? That means we are trying to seek out those who are interested or seeking interested in fulfilling God's will for the life, either in the cause, mostly in the area of missions. Whether it be foreign missions or some kind of individual type of missions that they're trying to get them involved with. And so if you're here tonight, and I just want you to understand something, we've got some pit bulls in here. These people are attacked. You got to be careful. All right. And so and some people say, well, Brother Lyons, we're with you in spirit, and I appreciate that. But we can't see your spirit, all right? We need some bodies. So I'm the body snatcher. I'm the missionary body snatcher. We're after bodies. We're after people for the mission field. Do you realize that the missionary investment or the missionary recruitment is going down over the years? We're not getting the missionaries. And people ask, where do you get the missionaries? Out of churches like this. So you're here tonight. You're a captive audience. We got people at the door. You can't get out. All right. You're here captive. And so we're interested in you tonight because you're the ones that can take up the banner and do the work. I realize everybody can't go to the mission field. I realize that. But somebody, God could use tonight to call and go to the mission field. But it all starts with the mind. Do you have the mind of Christ? Number one, I'll give you four things quickly. Number one, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. First of all, we think about the mind of Christ. It provokes a choice. It provokes a choice. Let this mind. I have to decide. You and I have to decide to allow myself to have the mind of Christ. We can have a lot of things in our mind. I was traveling up the road today. I've traveled 6 hours, and I've seen hills. I've seen rain. I've seen fog. I've seen trucks. I've seen everything you can imagine on the road, 6 hours of traveling. But my focus of my day cannot be in my surrounding events. My mind and my concentration has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so every morning I get up, I have to decide, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I have to decide and make a choice that my mind is going to be focused on the things of God. Amen. But let me give you some things you need to consider. Number one, understand that this doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. If some of you are more like my wife than myself, I get up early. I'm up early. I'm an early person. I like to get up and get the coffee going. Amen. Who's with me on that one? Yeah, Baptist coffee. There you go. I had to stop by Tim Hortons on the way to church. Give me some coffee. Amen. And I want to get up, and I'm anxious to get the day started. I don't want to miss anything. I mean, it's 24 hours, and I want to sleep it away. And my wife doesn't move till I bring her a cup of coffee. I've been doing it for 30 years being married. Now I get up in the morning, I make coffee, take it to my wife, and she slowly begins to move and get out, you know. And then she would rather, you know, stay in bed, you know. Amen. I got some amens there. Okay. All right. I thought I might. But it doesn't come naturally. You have to decide. Hey, I'm not going to allow the world to creep into my life today. I'm going to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so the natural person doesn't get up in the morning and say, hot dig it, I want to serve God. There's challenges. There's obstacles. There are things we have to overcome. But when you get up with a spring in your step, a song in your heart, in your heart, and you've read the Word of God, He's filled your heart, and man, you're out to bust the day open with the Lord because you got the mind of Christ. It doesn't come naturally. But number two, it doesn't come neutrally. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, for he that thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're either in or you're out. You're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. I realize that you can't, you in your Christian life, you can't go one step in the world and one step in God and hopefully it'll work out. It'll work out, but not the way you want it. So our life as Christians has to be those that are dedicated to make a choice, but understand that it has to be a deliberate choice, and we can't go one side or the other. As I travel, as I'm with college students, and they're trying to decide what they're going to do, they're all about the game. You know, what do I get out of it? Who gives me the best deal? And life isn't about who gives you the best deal. It's about what you can give to the Lord as service to Him. Amen. So it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come neutrally. But neither does it come nonchalantly. That should be a Spanish word. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that way that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Man, I just don't think this idea of serving God haphazardly, that just makes me sick. I'm sorry. I've been taught all my life from my dad, you when you get in for the Lord, you get all feet in. You jump in. You don't wishy-washy around. You get busy serving God. If you're here today and you provide Christ as your Savior, and you say, man, I'm saved, preacher. I'm here. I come to church. Well, there's some things I just don't like. And well, that music or that visitation program. And man, you hear all the excuses for why you can't serve God. You can always find an excuse why not to. But let's put excuses aside and say, hey, I'm going to do what I need to do for the serve of the Lord. But can I encourage you also by saying when you choose to have the mind of the Lord, it doesn't come with negativity. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither, neither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Man, I tell you what, when I got in the game of serving God, there ain't nothing negative about it. Oh, Brother Lyons, you've had some trouble. Oh, y'all have had some difficulties. Have you had some bad times? Oh, y'all have had some disappointing times in ministry. Has it always been a bed of roses? Yeah, a lot of thorns in there too. But you know what? It's all good. Because serving God, you never lose. You never lose. So understand, when you choose to have the mind of God, it provokes a choice. Number two, not only does it provoke a choice, but it produces a change. It produces a change. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, think on these things. And when you begin to think on these things, what happens? You begin to think positively. You begin to think about the good things of the Lord. And all of a sudden, those things that you thought were so bad and so terrible, all of a sudden, they're not that bad anymore. People come and they'll start griping, complaining. And I'll say, well, you know what? Just think about it. There's probably somebody worse off than you are. All of a sudden, they stop. And they say, yeah, I think I know somebody like that. So they didn't quit complaining. There's always someone worse off than you are. Someone has a greater trial than you're going through. It produces a change in us. It changes, number one, our actions. It changes our actions. I've seen before and after of salvations the people we dealt with in Spain, some people that were just cantankerous. I mean, they were just, I mean, the glass was always half empty, and man, nothing was ever right. And, it could be a beautiful sunny day, and it was something wrong with it, you know? And it's just a spew of negativity. But when Jesus Christ came in their life, man, what a difference it made. All of a sudden, we're joyful and we're happy. We're easy to get along with and we're lovable people. Amen? Amen. Or we should be. If you're not lovable, that's something to be worked on. Amen? I mean, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Some of you are pretty weak. Amen? You get some strength in there, you get some joy in you. You know, you come to church, your lip is on the ground. Poor me, I've had a terrible week. God just ain't blessed me this week. Just go out and suck on worms, you know, just not going to do it. When you realize what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, you understand it's a joyful life. I was talking to the pastor down there while I was preaching Sunday, and we were just talking about things of the Lord. And he says, you know, Brother Lyons, he says, it's just been a joy to be in the ministry. It's been a joy to see how God's blessed. You can be happy serving Jesus. You don't have to be old grumpy fuddy-duddy serving Jesus. You can be happy serving the Lord. It changes our actions, but then it changes our attitudes. We begin to have a good attitude with others. I tell the story many times. When we were working in a church in Spain, I had taken a month course of Spanish lessons. I had gone to refresh my Spanish. I had taken a month of writing and then using subjunctives. And I had gone Monday through Friday, you know, 5 days a week, 6 hours a day for a month. And it was my time to preach at the end of the month. And I had written everything out and I had everything all ready to go and had all my I's dotted and my T's crossed. Everything was just where it needed to be. And I got up and I waxed eloquently on that message that night. And thought I had everything where it needed to be. Well, we had Miss Senora Julia. She was one of these negative people in the church, older lady. And as soon as I got done preaching, man, she made her line up, come up to me, and I could see she had a something on her face. I said, man, this can't be good. She came up, she grabbed my hand, she says, oh, preacher. She said, did you go to language school this month? I said, yes, ma'am, I did. She said, did you pay a lot of money for that? I said, yeah, I did. She said, it didn't help you a bit. Now, I don't think about hitting old ladies, but that's the first time I ever want to hit an old lady. I took my wife. I said, honey, we're going home. She said, what's the matter? I said, I'll tell you when we get home. I went home, and I stewed all afternoon. I was upset. I just, that lady, he had the audacity to hurt my feelings. Can you imagine that? But I knew I had to go back to church. That was more in the morning. I knew I had to go back to church that Sunday night, and I said, man, I got to face her. And so we went to church, and I tried to wait a little later, you know. Hopefully, you know, we just kind of slip in right before church started, so I don't have to talk to anybody, you know. Even missionaries get out of sorts every now and then. And so we were getting there, and, man, I walked in the door, and, man, there she was. And she's making a beeline for me. I'm like, oh, Lord, I can't do this again. She came up, and she looked at me, took me by the hand. She says, Pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, did I hurt your feelings this morning? And I was still a little bit angry, and I said, yes, ma'am, you did. And a big tear came down her eye. She said, Pastor, I love you, and I wouldn't do anything to hurt you. Would you please forgive me? I said, Miss Senor Julia, sure I would. She became my best friend. By the way, she was the best cook in the church. So I ended up getting some pretty good meals after that deal. But the love of Jesus, having the mind of Christ, changes your actions, but also changes our affiliations. Romans chapter 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, when I understand the mind of Christ, there are some things I just don't want to do anymore. Some places I just don't want to be. Situations I just don't want to get myself in. When you have the mind of Christ, it produces a change. It produces a change in your heart. Number three, not only does it provoke a choice, does it produce a change, but number three, it predicts a challenge. If you ever thought getting into the Christian life would be that of ease, you're in the wrong business. I've had people come to me and say, Brother Lyons, well, I thought when I got saved, all my problems would go away. I said, you thought wrong. The actuality is you had the same problems you always have, but you have the Lord Jesus on your side where you did before. The problems don't go away. You just have someone to help you with your problems now. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, so being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in his fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my absence only, but now much more in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do you realize, and if you've been in this thing of living as a Christian for any amount of time, you realize it is a challenge. You and I face things every day that we maybe not would not have expected. There are things that I've encountered in ministry that I was not prepared for. I remember a couple coming to church one time, and this guy from Honduras prayed and prayed his wife would come. And we all as a church got together and we prayed his wife would come from Honduras. And finally he got up one night and said, preacher, my wife's coming. I said, well, praise the Lord. So we worked it out, picked her up at the airport, got them all situated, helped them get to an apartment, got them all situated. About a month after they were there, got a call from another couple who lived next door about 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, preacher, you need to come. I'm like, why? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. What's going on at 2 o'clock? He says, the police are here and they're taking him out in handcuffs. And they're taking her to the hospital. I said, oh, this ought to be interesting. So I made my way over there and I talked to him. I said, well, what's going on? She said, I found out she's stepping out on me. So I took the knife. I was going to kill her. And I went through my Bible classes at Tennessee Temple, and I said, man, where was that class? I missed that one somewhere. how to deal with that. That was unexpected. Situations, I had a couple come from Brazil and they had met there and got married. And I thought they were, you know, just they were coming wanting to be in church. Something just wasn't right. And I kept investigating, find out they both had mates in another country. They were married in Brazil and they come and met there and got married. And man, what a fiasco. I'm like, man, where's that in the Bible? I didn't see that one mentioned either. So there are things you're going to encounter in life. Man, it's a challenge. It's a challenge of sacrifice. It's not always easy to sacrifice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a challenge of submission. You're always under somebody. You have to submit. You're in your church. You submit to the authority of the local church. As missionaries, we submit to the authority of our sending church and to those we work with. It's not about being the lone ranger and doing everything your own way and have it your way. No, it's about serving the Lord together. As Brother Matt mentioned earlier. Working together. It's a challenge in service. It's a challenge to serve. But when you have the mind of Christ, it predicts a challenge. Paul said, hey, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have problems. You're going to have situations out of your control. But that's okay. I got this. But when we walk away from the Lord's mind, we begin to have trouble. Last of all, tonight we'll conclude. We have the mind of Christ. Number four, it pursues a Christ-likeness. It pursues a Christ-likeness. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Holding forward the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon a sacrifice in service of your faith, I joy and rejoice you all. The purpose of our life, and Brother Matt already mentioned this evening, is that we be Christ-like. I wonder how many people that are saved, have gone through life and have not allowed Christ to work in their life, and they're going to be a total shock when they get to heaven and how much transformation has to happen. The idea is that when you get, we call it progressive sanctification, we're growing in our life so when we get to heaven, God doesn't do so much a transformation. But some people will be unrecognizable because they haven't grown in this life. It's a pursuit of Christ-likeness. When these missionaries go to the field, what are they doing? They're pursuing a Christ-likeness. It doesn't matter what culture or what language you're in. The people need to see Christ in you. It doesn't matter what religion you're facing or what denomination you may be dealing with. But they need to see Christ in you. Because it's not you that's going to make a difference. It's not your abilities. It's not my ability of a language or culture or ability to woo people. It's Jesus Christ that makes a difference. It's Christ in them and Christ in me. And the Bible says our spirit bears witness that we are His. And when we are His and doing His work and we allow Him to work through us in Christ's likeness, that's when people take a notice of, hey, something different about you. Amen. Something different about you. It pursues Christ-likeness in our habits. We could park here a while. I'm not going to. Our habits, the things we do. Some of us have some pretty bad habits. We need to change those. The way we talk, maybe the way we dress, the things we listen to, the things we watch, the places we go. Habits. Verse 17 talks about Paul's humility. He said, and if I be offered upon sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He says, hey, if I'm offered, it's okay. I just want God to be glorified in my life. Humility will take you a long way. Will take you a long while. I remember we went back to Spain and we had been home for furlough and our second son, Stephen, had been born. And I completely forgot about getting him applying for residence before I went back to Spain. I just totally slipped my mind. We were already there and we went to pick up the residence card for my other son and some of ours, and they said, well, where's his paperwork? And I'm like, I forgot. I just never dawned on me. I mean, he's 6 months old. What kind of terrorist is he at 6 months old, you know? And the policeman behind that desk looked at me. He says, "Well, you all have to go back to America." I said, "I just got here. I'm sorry. You all have to leave." I said, "I don't have any money." "You will leave." And I had all these kids and just got back. And I was like, "I'm going to have a hard time explaining that one to my sending churches." Wow. So I went home. I said, "We need to pray about this." So we begin to pray. I said, "Lord, we need some help. I don't know what to do here. My hands are tied." Well, while we was in there, my little daughter Priscilla had got to be friendly with one of the ladies in the office, the residence office. In fact, she had asked to keep Priscilla while we went across the street to pay the bills for the residence. Now, I know in America you don't do those type of things, and Europe's a little bit different. Your kid's safe there. And so she loved Priscilla. So we went back in. I found her, and I said, "Ma'am," I said, "we got a problem." She says, "Yeah, I know you got a big problem." I said, "Any way you can help me? Can you help us anyway?" She said, "Well, just a minute." She went back into the office, and she was gone about 15 minutes. She came back, and she said, "Here's what you need to do." She said, "Can you go and write a letter on your letterhead apologizing for what you did?" I said, "Oh, yes, ma'am, I can do that." And he said, "Now you need to make it good." I said, "Oh, I can make it good." So I went home and I wrote down, I said, "Dear, to whom it may concern, I said, I am profusely sorry for causing you any inconvenience. It's all my fault. I was totally wrong. I mean, I just poured it out there." I took it back to that office. I said, "How's this?" She says, "Perfect." She took it back there. She's gone about 5 minutes. She says, "Okay, here's your residence." You say, "Well, you just sucked up to her." I said, "Well, I do what I had to do." But a little humility goes a long way. You know, I'm not above the people I'm working with. You're not above anybody else. God can use you to reach them. Pursues Christ's likeness in our habits, in our humility, and last of all, in our honesty. Are we honest? First of all, are we honest with the Lord? You know, we talk about surrender and we say, "Man, I'm willing. I've been doing this for 30 years. I go back to churches and some of those same people are still willing and they never said I will. They're still, I'm willing. Serving God is, yes, willing, but it's also an obedient heart. Say, "God, you know, I don't know what you can do with my life. I don't know where I fit in, how I can even fit in. I don't know how you can use me. But here's my life. Take it and use it." I'm glad as a 16-year-old boy over in a dumpy camp in the outskirts of Madrid, God got a hold of my heart. And he chose fit to use a missionary kid. I don't deserve that at all. But I was honest with the Lord. I said, "Lord, you didn't get much. Whatever I have, I'll let you use. I'll do whatever you want me to do." If you would have told me 10 years ago I'll be here doing this, I would have said, "You are sick in the head. I never dreamed I'd ever be doing what I'm doing today." But you know what? God has a better plan than I do. He knows exactly what he's doing. You know what? He'll do the same for you. Just let go and let God have his way in your life, and you will be excited to see the places he'll take you, what he'll do with your life, and how he'll use you to reach others with the cause of Christ. But it all begins, let's have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. I pray you have your will and way in the invitation as Pastor comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Preacher.